morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche. It is so cold outside today. It was 17 degrees in the Attleboros when I started driving in here. We have Mike Catanzara on the board keeping me on track every single Saturday. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Elaine. It is cold out there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it wasn't cold last Saturday when I went to the Winter Festival in Attleboro. We had ice sculptures and alpacas and bonfires, and the art museum was wide open. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of people came down and for it. And even though it was warm, it did not dampen the spirits of the Attleboro citizens. And we had a great time, and George Leonard of Georgie Porgy and the Crybabies, they were playing at City Hall, and that was quite a lot of fun to hear his songs and whimsical songs. And he'll be on the last Saturday of March again to play out some of his wonderful songs and everything too. So we did have a lot of things going on, and today we have a lot of things going on too. I have a special guest. Frank O'Donnell is holding, so hold on just one more second, Frank, before we get to you, because we want to talk about his fundraising event that's coming up in March. But I did want to tell you that there are actually three St. Patrick's Day parades in our area, and actually four. Actually, today, Pawtucket has their 35th annual St. Patrick's Day parade at noontime. So that's the first one. And then Newport has theirs on March 11th. And let's see what else. And their parade starts, we'll give you more information about that. It doesn't say what time it starts. But the West Warwick one, the 58th annual St. Patrick's Day parade in my backyard, starts March 12th next week at 1 p.m. And that's a lot of fun. And this is something I didn't realize, that even Providence has their St. Patrick's Day parade on the day after St. Patrick's Day, March 18th. We'll be talking to you about that next week. But I just want to let you know that Pawtucket has theirs today at noontime if you're looking for something fun to do with the kids. And there's so much more. So anyway, I hope that you are all doing well. And when you step outside your doorway, we are in for what they call the big chill. Jim Corbin will be calling us at 7:35 to give us an update. But right now, I'd like to introduce you to Frank O'Donnell, who was a former talk show host and famous legendary comedian in our area. Good morning, Frank, and thank you for getting up so early with us.
Good morning, Elaine. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Yes, I got up at 4 o'clock today for some reason. It was just really one of those things.
Oh, you're such a go-getter.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It's probably because I fell asleep so early. I don't know, Frank. But anyway, go ahead.
It's one of those.
Yeah, it probably is. Now, you actually worked at WARA back in the day, right?
I did. I can't even remember what that day was, but I did. Long time ago, probably 30 years ago now.
Oh, my God, no kidding. Wow. Because
yeah.
I was trying to think, because I was working about almost 5 years for Dr. Morola's back in the day, as we say, and my show was 9 to noon on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have a chance to know you back then.
Oh, yeah, I was long gone. Seriously, it's been, I should try to figure that out. It's probably been 30 years, maybe a little less, but yeah,
right.
Long time ago.
Now, I do see you occasionally doing the comedy routine. How did you get into comedy?
I don't know. I was actually writing for a radio station in Providence. The station that is now Light 105 used to be JB 105, and it was a rock station, a lot like HJY is now. They had a team of guys on there, Mike Waite and Jeff Baker. Jeff did impressions, Mike was the straight guy. And one day they this is a long, long time ago, when radio stations used to call people's houses with a contest that was called it's kind of like a wheel of impressions thing. So they would call somebody randomly and say, if you can guess who is on our wheel of impression, that's not the name of it, that's Jimmy Fallon's bit now, but whatever it was, you get a prize. And they called this older woman who didn't have a clue who they were, and she just randomly guessed Perry Como.
Oh, my God.
And one of the guys said, Perry Como, is he still alive? And, in fact, at that time, he was. But I wrote a parody news article and sent it into them about how they had blown the lid off a great Disney conspiracy that Perry Como had actually died 10 years ago and been replaced by an animatronics figure so that they could continue to reap the benefits of his income. And I sent it into them, not thinking anything. You know, it's just one of those goofy things. Mm-hmm. And like 2 days later, they read it on the air.
Wow.
And said my name, and, you know, like, I went into work, and people were going, oh, they said your name on JB105 this morning. I'm going, oh, yeah, really? Wow. So from there, I just, I met them, I started writing for them, and, you know, maybe 6 months, a year in, one of the guys was doing a talent night at a place called Noah's Arcade, downtown Providence, which became Periwinkles. And he said, why don't you come down and tell some jokes? And at that point, honestly, that was not on my radar. It petrified me. And he said, no, come down because we got all these people who do different things, but we don't have anybody doing any comedy. So, you know, come do it.
Mm-hmm.
So after about a month, I had written a 15-minute act, which is way too long for your first performance, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And I went down and did it, and I was pretty terrible. I got, I believe I got two laughs, one of them on something I'd written and something that I made up on the spot when somebody said something in the audience. But that was enough to keep me coming back. So I've been doing that for 35 years.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
That was my start.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was it.
Wow, that's awesome. We're going to change gears just a little bit because I met you through my daughter, Kelly, but you have a fantastic organization called Heavenly Gingers, and today it's number 7. Can you tell us a little bit about your daughter, Carrie Ann, and the foundation?
Sure. Yeah, we actually, Heavenly Gingers is actually the name of a show that we put together that funds two different foundations. One is my daughter Carrie's, and the other is my niece Jessica's. Carrie was killed in a car accident in 2010. Jessica died of ovarian cancer in 2008. They were both very young when they passed. Carrie was 15, Jess was 20. But the common bond to them is they were both fiery redheads, like, you know, take charge, hey, look at me, kind of redheads who loved to perform. They were both wonderful dancers. They were also good singers and actresses. And after Carrie's passing, the Morris family and our family got together and said, you know, we really should do something as a kind of a tribute to them. And it was just natural that it turned into a performance. So the first year we did Heavenly Gingers, which, you know, comes the gingers would be the redhead. That's actually something that grew out of some horrific thunderstorms the summer of Carrie's accident. Her dad, John, and I spoke a lot, and, you know, we just said it was the girls fighting over who's in charge of the dance studio in heaven. Which is where the name came from.
Right.
And when we decided to do a show, we said, you know, let's call it that. And we approached our friends at Twin River, and they said, yeah, we'll, you can have our room. And it just grew from there. So, you know, the first one was, I guess it's 6 years ago now, but this is the 7th one, however that works. But we did it about 6 months after Carrie passed away was the first one.
Wow.
And from that, you know, the two funds are established to help young people who have a passion for performance, to help them to afford the classes and workshops that they need to further that passion. You know, those things are very expensive often. You know, even the monthly or the weekly classes that, you know, they take in dance or music or acting, you know, they're all expensive. The summer workshops are expensive. So we decided that we would take the money that we raised and turn it into scholarships and grants for kids like ours who couldn't afford to but wanted to go to different performing arts classes.
Yeah, I was looking at your bio that you were kind enough to email me, and it says that you fund Camp Broadway, the GAM Summer Intensive Program, the Trinity Reps Programs, the Ocean State Theater Summer Camp, and many, many more organizations for children. And I think that's just really phenomenal that you're actually turning this tragedy into something so positive and making it almost like a tribute to both young ladies.
Well, it is. I mean, it's a way for us to, you know, keep their names alive and keep them alive in a very small fashion.
Sure.
But to be clear, we don't fund those organizations or those groups, but we do pay for individuals to be able to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear. It's like we're not the money behind the organization, but
right.
We sent a lot of kids to them.
Providing scholarships for young people.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes. I think that's really wonderful, especially the performing arts are very expensive. And if a child takes guitar lessons or drum lessons or music lessons or dance lessons, I know there's like three of my grandchildren, like the two girls are in dance and ballet and acrobatics and stuff like that. And my grandson's in music and, you know, guitar lessons and everything. And I can't believe how much money it does cost a lot of money for a child to go into performing arts. And unfortunately, sometimes in the school systems, the arts programs and the, you know, are the first to go with budget cuts and everything. So,
which is sad because, you know, I know what the performing arts did for Kerry and for my other kids, and I see it in, you know, a lot of kids that I've had the pleasure to work with. It's huge. It's even if they don't end up having a career in the performing arts, it gives them such a grounding, such a It helps build confidence, you know, and these are things that carry over into their adult lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll always have it. You know, they may not pursue it, but they will always have it.
Right.
And I think that's what's really important here.
Absolutely. Frank, I do have to pause you for just 1 second because we do have to go up against a bump, a commercial break, but hold you right there. Folks, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I have Frank O'Donnell online. We're going to come right back to our interview. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Good morning. You're listening to Out and About. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The Chaminade Music Club will be having a pipe organ concert at the Murray Universalist Church on February 19th at 2 o'clock p.m. The concert will feature several musicians, including organists Janice Waterman and David Burnham, soprano Sarah Michael Smith, and baritone Gary Thies. Organists will be playing Murray Universalist Church's 1882 Hook and Hastings pipe organ. This concert is free and open to the public and will be followed by a reception. For more information about this concert and future Chaminade Music Club performances, visit chaminademusicclub.org.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting. You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's gonna be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy.
Oh my God. Ah.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo, Justin, look at us, we're over here.
Justin, OMG, I love you, Justin, I love you.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine the Roach, and online, my special guest is Frank O'Donnell, and we're talking about the Heavenly Gingers, show number 7, year number 7. So good morning, Frank, and thanks for getting up so early and talking to us today about this wonderful, great foundation. And you're here actually to tell us about a great fundraising event. It's the biggest annual fundraising event that's coming up in March.
It's called Heavenly Gingers 7. Mm-hmm. It's on Tuesday, March 21st at 6:30 at the Twin River Event Center in Lincoln. And it's really a celebration of the lives and passions of Kerry and Jess. And we'll have dance, we'll have song, have a little bit of comedy, and then, of course, we have raffles and not-so-silent auctions, I like to call them, live auctions. And this year, for the second year, we've added an art gallery. So we've got a lot of friends who've donated pieces of art, photographs, paintings, handmade jewelry, things like that that we offer for sale. So That was pretty successful last year, so we brought it back this year.
Yeah, you had a lot of different auction items and raffles, and I did see some of the most beautiful arts works and jewelry. And but I walked away with one of my Heavenly Ginger T-shirts in support, and that was pretty cool. But just the whole night and everything was just a really great, fun family. Yeah. Children are invited to come and participate.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah, it is family friendly. You know, it's funny because John and I are both comedians, and you know, they go, "Oh, is it going to be, you know, dirty?" And it's like, "No, of course not."
Oh my God! Yeah,
we know where we are,
right?
And we know what we're doing. So it is kind of funny though the way some people react, but you know, that's because they don't know us. They know one dimension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just looking at some of the highlights for the State Ballet of Rhode Island, the North Providence High School. I like this, Troublemakers, an a cappella group.
Isn't that a great name?
I love
that.
That's really great.
You know what, we involve them every year because that was Kerry's school, and you know, at the time she passed, she was a freshman, so you know, there were a lot of kids that, you know, were there for 3 years afterwards, who were involved in the show, and the high school continues it. We also provide 2 scholarships every year to graduating seniors who have who have demonstrated some sort of interest in the performing arts. So we help them with their college expenses for the following year.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, so that's just another, you know, thing that we do with the money. Jess's dream does it with Lincoln High School as well, because she graduated from there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, how can a parent apply for the funds or the scholarships?
They can just send us an email. That's a good way to start. And we can get them information on it. The best email would be the Kerry Ann Fund, so it'd be KERIANNE Fund at gmail.com. And, you know, we go through those emails fairly regularly. And you can also find me on Facebook if I'm fairly easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
When we do something special, we will put it up on my Facebook page so that you can find out about it. We're in the process now of establishing websites for both of the funds and for the event. They won't be up before the event, but we've partnered with Bryant University's marketing department. They've got a great program where they make a team of students available to you for the semester if you're a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a great team right now working on making us social media friendly. So they're setting up Twitter accounts, and they'll be helping out with the Facebook accounts, but primarily they're going to establish a web presence for us. So that'll be helpful.
Wow, that's really great. I mean, yeah, social media is everything, isn't it? My God, that's
yeah.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, it's a good and a bad thing. When I see the leaders of our government using Twitter to fight, it just kind of makes me cringe. But other than that, used for the right purposes, it's a great thing.
Right. No, I hear you. That's for sure. Getting back to the event. The tickets, they're only $15 this year?
Yeah.
That is really very affordable. And Twin River is very centrally located, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, right off of 146, very mm-hmm. easy to get to.
Yes.
We do try to keep the tickets affordable because, you know, we would like as many people to come as can. We do recognize it's a school night, so we start at 6:30. And we usually have people out of there by 9 o'clock.
Yes, you do. I mean, last year, how many people would you say were there? Because it seemed like the ballroom was packed.
We had about 550.
Wow, that's a phenomenal. Yeah, that's phenomenal.
But wow. there's always room for more.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So are you changing up the format at all? I know that you have new people coming in this year than last year. But is the format changing a little bit more for performers?
It's the same basic format. You know, a couple of different performers. You know, one of the things that's happened over the years is a lot of the girls who started dancing have kind of aged out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the right word, but you know, they get older. They go to college. They're not around anymore. They don't dance anymore because, you know, they've done it. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
So we have new things that we add. The dancers from Cats will always be there because Cats is owned by Jess's mom, and Jess was a co-director of the studio when she passed. But they'll always be with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the State Ballet is an offshoot of that. The girl who is in charge of that troupe was a Cats dancer, so now she's older, she has a family, but she comes back. This will be, I think, their third year with us. You know, we have some singers who are part of the family. My daughter Kayla and her friends sing a couple of songs every year. You know, so it's really, initially it was all the performers were people who knew either Jess or Kerry or both of them. Now it's grown out of that to people who want to participate with us. Also, some of the scholarship recipients from the past appear in the show. So it evolves. You know, every year we have to adjust a little something, but it always seems to work out.
I think that it's great that participants of the scholarships and that are involved with the Heavenly Gingers Foundation come back and give back to the community and to your foundation. It speaks volumes as to the success of this organization, this wonderful nonprofit. This is phenomenal, Frank.
Yeah, I would agree because it's you know, that's an offshoot that, you know, we hadn't intended, but I think it's good when you know, most of the kids truly appreciate what they get, and they do want to, you know, turn around and do what they can using their performing arts skills to help with this show and with others as well. So, you know, we've got some stuff that we're thinking about for the fall that will involve some of the scholarship recipients. So it continues to grow. It's one of those things where, you know, you can't really predict where it's going to go or where it will be in a year or two. But, you know, we just do what we can to help kids. And that's really all it's for. And that's, you know, the good thing about this is there are, I can't say zero expenses, but they are so minimal. You know, most years, all we have to do is pay for the T-shirts, which we give to all the performers. And then, you know, whatever's left over, we sell at the event. Mm-hmm. But that really is our only expense. And, you know, we've got people who donate wonderful prizes that, you know, we can raffle off or auction off. And it's a fun night, and it all of the money that's raised goes to help kids.
Right. I was wondering, do you know any of the raffle prizes yet, or do you wait until you get there? Because I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you, like, pump it up and just tell me, okay, you've got this or that coming? And
absolutely. We've got confirmed. We have 4 tickets to see the Red Sox and the world champion Chicago Cubs on April 29th. The company that I work for during the day donated them to us. So they've got a nice box up at Fenway. So that will be, I'm certain, a pretty good, we'll call it a high ticket prize.
Right.
We have... it's kind of a Newport package. We've had donations from the Viking Hotel, from Brick Alley Pub, from the Atlantic Taxi Service, and from the Rum Runner 2, which is a great night on the water, traveling around Newport Harbor and seeing the sights and having a beverage or three. So we're thinking that we're going to make that a package. I'm sure that will do well. We have had a week's stay in Orlando for up to 6 people donated to us. And that's off the top of my head. There's a list somewhere, but I don't have it in my hands right now. You know, but on top of that, we have tickets to different shows around town. Trinity donated to us, GAM, Ocean State Theater, Academy Players, Community Players. So we have things like that. We'll have some dinner packages. And then we've got some jewelry items. We've got baskets that people are making up for us. Right now, I believe it's up to about 75 different items that available. And we'll probably have a lot more, because that's what happens, too. You know, the closer you get to the event, people go, oh, I have this. I'll give this to you. It's like,
right.
Okay, thanks.
Right, right. But,
and we have, I guess I could say this, someone that you know whose name might or might not be Kelly is giving us a tour of the Sunrise Show that she does at WJAR. That will feature watching a taping of Mario and Chef Terranova, and then when it's done, they get breakfast. So that'll be fun.
Wow, I might have to bid on that one.
Well, I guess it's fair. You know, it's not like you're cheating or anything. So,
that's
yeah,
right. It goes for a good cause.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. I do have to. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You got to take a break. All right. So I'm just going to say really quickly, your daughter has been phenomenal to us. She's coming back this year. She's going to be our, what's a good word, chatter up before the show and during intermission, to let people know what's going on with the raffle prizes, with the not-so-silent auction stuff. So that's what that means is, normally silent auction, you go write it down and nobody says anything. we don't go for that. So you go write your bid, and then Kelly will go over. Okay, so we have a $100 bid for this. We can do better than that, and then you know it starts a little. You know, so it's kind of a live auction, but not really. But you know, as long as people know what's going on. But anyway, Kelly has just been phenomenal to us, and we love her to death.
Well, the feeling is very, very mutual. She knows that I was talking to you today, and she wanted me to say hello and hi, and she can't wait to see you soon.
Yeah, I'm going to go see them next week.
Awesome. That's great. That's really great. Frank, hold on just one second. I'm going to take a quick break. Then we have Jim Corbin coming on at 7:35. You're welcome to hang in there through the 15 minutes, or do you want to go? Or I'll leave it up to you. How's that?
I'll hang on. I'm sitting here.
Wonderful. Okay. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche. We're talking to Frank O'Donnell. On the flip side of our break, we have Jim Corbin talking to us about this warm, wonderful weather. 80 degrees is your way. No, I'm only kidding. It's only going to be like -3. All right, I got to run. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Attleboro Arts Museum's Community Gallery will be displaying oil paintings by North Attleboro artist Rick Shears for the entire month of February. Shears is a professional illustrator and painter who works in many mediums. The Community Gallery is located in the reception area of the Attleboro Arts Museum's Emory Street entrance.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food. We've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change the world's behavior through brainwashing. Because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food. And that costs a family of four $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. It's worsening climate change through the release of methane gas. Save the food. Cha-ching. And it's wasting precious natural resources like our fresh water. Save the food. Cha-ching. So when you hear this sound, don't be neutral. Rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bob Giammarco of Sentinel Safe Floors in North Attleboro. Slip and falls are the number one cause of accidents in hotels, restaurants, and public buildings, resulting in over $70 billion in annual medical costs and compensation, and leaving over 300,000 people with disabling injuries every year. Servicing both residential and business clients, Sentinel Safe Floors uses nano-grip technology to protect your loved ones, guests, and employees by making floors slip-resistant and safe. To learn more, please visit our website at www.sentinelsafefloors.com. We don't install floors, we make them safer.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is time for our weather update with Jim Corbin. So 80 degrees this week, Jim. What do you think?
Yep. They're heading down to South Florida, maybe. But do you remember 1 week ago this morning, right at this time, or actually it was a little before, after 7, we were talking about 55 degrees. It was headed for close to 70 last Saturday. And, of course, the big issue at that time was that we were discussing the would it be too warm for the Winter Night Festival. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And of course, it went off nicely. I mean, but it just wasn't sort of the setting of winter. Well, we have the complete opposite for some of these events going on today, like the parade in Pawtucket and Newport. It's one thing to be walking in the cold, but it's another thing to be standing as a spectator. And if that's one thing I have to say that I've been saying the last couple of few days, is when you have a parade that early in March, and it's, you know, should be right around the holiday, to be honest, like a couple of towns are having it. Mm-hmm. You have to expect bitter cold, so I hope everyone stays warm at that parade. And also, the people that are heading up, some of them I understand from the Attleboro area for the polar plunge up at Hull off Nantasket Beach late this morning. They're going to be jumping in 34-degree water. Obviously, they're only in for a minute or two at most, maybe even seconds, but hopefully they're very careful. I mentioned this yesterday with Paul and Dom. It's one thing to have a polar plunge in January when, you know, it's cold, and but if you don't expect it in March, you're going to be very, very careful because the wind chills are averaging right now 0 to 5 below, and during these events later this morning, it's still going to be averaging about 5 above zero. So hopefully everyone stays safe. And the other thing I'll mention, and I'll get right to the forecast, and then I'll end quickly.
That's okay.
We're going to be forming ice once again on ponds and lakes, and it's going to be a vulnerable situation. The problem we have over the next few days is not only is it going to be cold right through Monday morning, but there's going to be still a bit of a breeze blowing. Today, obviously, we're going to have winds gusting to 35 miles an hour. So, again, I can't stress enough. If you have to do something outside, like be at these parades, you want to dress in several layers. Again, but in terms of ice on ponds and lakes, it doesn't form as fast when you have a windy condition because the water gets moved around. So if we get ice by the end of this weekend and early next week, stay off it. It might be tempting. Some of the kids like to walk on it. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks since we've had any ice around. Certainly very little in the way of snow. So you want to be very careful on the ponds and lakes over the coming days. We are going to warm up, though. So after we reach a high of about 20 this afternoon, that's it for a high with wind chills in the single numbers. We're going to drop down to about 7 degrees tomorrow morning. Get this, the wind chill early tomorrow morning will be colder than this morning, down around 10 below zero. So if you have plans tomorrow morning, and fortunately, being a Sunday, a lot of people can put things off, don't have to get out early in the morning. It'll rise to about 30 tomorrow afternoon, still below freezing. So, again, a cold weekend. In fact, this is, believe it or not, in terms of a Saturday-Sunday high temperature, the coldest weekend so far of the entire winter. And here it is coming in March. Then on, again, Monday, it starts to warm up. One more cold morning, probably around 15 on Monday morning. We reach about 40 to 45 on Monday afternoon. Still some sunshine. And then we're going to cloud up. And believe it or not, Elaine, we're going to see some rain by late Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday night.
Do you think there's a chance of snow this week?
Yes, later this week. Maybe. Well, the rain that falls on Wednesday could end as snow showers. And perhaps right around the time we're talking this Saturday, upcoming Saturday, the 11th, we may be dealing with a snow and rainstorm.
Really?
Probably not all snow, but it could be a stormy weekend next weekend.
Right.
And, of course, there are some events then, more parades.
Yes.
So, again, the weather having a lot of effects in plus and minus ways over the last few weeks. But of immediate concern, I can't stress enough, anyone going to those parades, in Newport, the temperature may be a degree or two warmer, but the wind will be stronger. So both areas are going to have wind chills in the single numbers to maybe around 10 degrees. The only saving grace, like I'll end on this, is that on a day like today or any time this time of year, we have cold weather, but it's getting later in the season. If you can stay in the sun, stay out of the shadows, and just stay in the sun, which will warm you up just a little bit. Might as well use Mother Nature to a benefit. Still going to be very cold, bundle up, but if you can stay out of the shady areas, maybe watching parades or, unfortunately, there's no shade at Nantasket Beach, but jumping into the water, I have a feeling you're going to see video of a lot of those people jumping in and out within 10 seconds.
No, I hear you, Jim. Now, because we are into March, and March is also known for some major snowstorms, and I'm going to put you out on a limb and just ask you about, we've only got a couple more weeks. I know next weekend we do the daylight saving time again, yep. So it'll be lighter again, which I'm loving getting out of work and it's still light out. But do you think that we may have a really big, heavy storm?
Maybe not a foot of snow, but I can see another 4 to 6 inches at one event, perhaps by, matter of fact, if you want me to go long range.
Sure.
Right around the Ides of March, which you know what that date is, right?
I used to know. 18th? 17th?
15th of March.
Oh,
so 2 days before the actual St. Patrick's Day, some of the models now are starting to converge on a possible snowstorm around then,
wow.
March 15th.
Really?
So that would be the middle of the following week. Because I think St. Patrick's Day this year is what, Friday or Saturday?
Yes. Yep, Friday.
Friday. So it would be about the Wednesday before St. Patrick's Day. That's a rough timetable of maybe getting a storm that would be all snow, but I don't think it would be a blockbuster. But hey, who knows? I said this back in late November to many, and I'm not tooting my horn by saying it because I think a lot of us meteorologists would agree. Usually when you have a dud season for a time, you have something late in the season. And so it might end up being, in another week or two, one of our biggest snowstorms of the entire winter. And, of course, we only had that week stretch where the snow was on the ground and then it died off. So it's been a fairly, as I like to call it, bookend winter, where you get some action early, you get action late, and you don't get too much in between. So if you want, the question you're asking, are we going to get more snow? I think it's yes.
It's very possible. Mm-hmm.
But not this weekend. It's just the bitterly cold temperatures. Again, I can't stress enough, anyone going to outdoor events today, or even just having to be outside for a few minutes doing whatever, you definitely want to bundle up, because this is really one of the colder afternoons, late mornings and afternoons of the entire winter.
Wow. I was just looking in the out and about sections and everything for parades, and today is the Pawtucket. That starts off at noontime, but next week is the Newport one on March 11th.
Okay, so next week is the Newport. Okay, so
right.
Yeah, and that one might be affected by snow and rain. Who knows? But again, it's the time of year when if you have outdoor events planned in March, or even any time, really, in the winter, I mean, you know you're pushing your luck if you want to have really nice weather. But then again, that polar plunge up in Hull, I mean, people knew going into it that they were going to be jumping in cold water.
It's just that
the water will be a little colder than it typically is. I know that beach, many years growing up in Braintree, we'd go there in the summer, and was one of the coldest beaches, even in the summertime. So the wintertime, I just checked again, the water there is about just over the freezing mark. It's not ice yet, but it's about 34 degrees. Compare that to the water on southern Rhode Island, near Newport, where water there is about 39 or 40. You say, oh, it's still cold. Even a 5 degrees can make a difference. That water they're jumping into is just above freezing. So it's cold.
Wow. I'm just
but
thinking
again,
about
what you
water.
Mentioned, by the way, what you mentioned, I'll end on this. Daylight savings next weekend.
Yes.
Something positive to look at, sort of a warming thought, even though it's not a weather-related event.
I know, I can't wait, because it's always so nice when you have 8 o'clock and it's still sunny out. It's just really, really nice.
Yeah.
It's so great. And it gives you a burst of energy that spring is just right around the corner, which it will be. And then, you know, pretty soon we'll be talking about, you know, sunsets, you know, coming up into like the 8 o'clock hour. And I can't wait for that. That's just really, really amazing time. I can't wait for it. I mean, I know like winter is here. And it's funny because I bought this new winter coat and I haven't worn it yet because it hasn't been that cold yet. But maybe today or tomorrow. No, I have my old L.L. Bean one that I have. That's about 12 years old.
The old faithful coat.
It's great. Yeah, it still does its job.
The one that
you know it works. Yeah. I'm very thrifty.
You haven't checked out the new one yet.
No, I have the new one. I'm looking at it, you know, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, okay, maybe Monday or Tuesday. But I think I'm going to, when I go, well, I have my routine. You know my routine. From here, I go to my breakfast place,
and then
I start my days with the holiday and the errands and everything. But
not cooking any soup today? Or stew?
I think I might do that. Yeah, I think today I'm going to go grocery shop, and I thought lasagna tomorrow, but
And that's a reminder, too, and you're probably going to mention it, because I know Dom's mentioned it all week, thing at 12 o'clock today, the soup thing.
Oh, yes. I haven't had a chance to read anything about it because, yes, it's a Soup for Heat fundraising event.
Soup for Heat, yeah.
Yes, it is. And it's from noon to 2 p.m. And
I bring that up because it's an appropriate day for some hot soup. I mean, it's cold, so why not go up there and get some hot soup right there on South Main Street?
Well, you know what? I might do that because it's at the Larson Senior Center right here on South Main, and it's only $10. And you know what? I do have to go to that Ugly Dog bookstore because she's going to be my guest next week. So I might have a very busy morning. But so
there
thanks for the heads up. Yeah, I've got my breakfast and my lunch here. That's a great idea. Yeah, I definitely will check it out. I'm sure I'll run into many of our political leaders there. You know, scooping out the soup, and there's nothing like a good hot bowl of soup.
On a day like today, definitely.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Right.
All right, Elaine, well, I'll talk to you next week.
So, yes, we're live every single Saturday, so I will hear from you next week, and thanks for the great forecast. Have a great week. Bundle up yourself, Jim.
I will, definitely. Thanks, Elaine.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you. All right, there goes Jim Corbin, and we're going to take our last break, and then we'll bring Frank O'Donnell back on. Frank, thanks for being so patient, and you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning, and we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Multi-instrumentalist Jeff Snow will perform The Softer Side of Celtic at the Attleboro Public Library on Thursday, March 2nd at 6:30 p.m. Jeff's performance combines music, stories, and history from Scotland, Ireland, and England. He will play the guitar, bouzouki, and autoharp during his performance. The Softer Side of Celtic is supported by a grant from the Attleboro Cultural Council, a local agency supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council. This event is free and open to the public. Please register at attleborolibrary.org/register. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road in North Attleboro, supports high school sports in our community at every level. Opened in 1983, owner Angelo Cavalieri is proud of their 33 years of service to the Attleboros. Falls AC is open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. They have lunch and dinner daily, banquet rooms for your meeting or get-together, and dart leagues. The entire staff at Falls AC wishes the high school athletes the best of luck in every game. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road, North Attleboro, 508-695-2688.
Of course my kid's in the right car seat. Well, I think he is.
Yeah, my kid's in a booster seat. He was ready to move up. He is ready, right?
Her car seat looks like the right size.
There are probably rules on when to move up to a booster seat, aren't there?
Rear facing, forward facing? I think I have it right.
Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your children in the right car seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
I know my child's in the right car seat, or else I wouldn't get in the driver's seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everyone. We're jumping in because we have my good friend Tom Rafferty wanted to make a few comments, and then we'll go back to Frank O'Donnell. So good morning, Tom. How are you out there? Tom? Oops. There you are.
Who's Tom?
We got Frank back on. We dropped Tom Rafferty. Hey, Tom, sorry about that. My guess, you'll have to wait until next week. So anyway, we're getting back to you. Thank you for waiting. Really, really appreciate it. And
no problem. I just got cold listening to that. Can we maybe get a second opinion? Can we find another meteorologist that says it's not going to be that cold?
Hold on just one second, Frank, because we're getting another call in. And I just need to tell my producer what we're going to be doing with you, because you're my guest, and I think our caller we can't take because we've only got 8 minutes in the show. Anyway, I did want to get back to you about the fundraising event. Oh, yeah. You know what I always say? Microphones drop. Headsets don't work. Everything goes wrong when it's live radio. Anything can happen. So it's not that I don't appreciate my callers calling in. It's just that it's hard when I have one live line and we're trying to patch another line in, and sometimes you can't do it. So I think that's probably the case, and that's okay. But I wanted to find out more about the fundraising event, and you have another event, don't you, around Christmas time, that dysfunctional Christmas show that you have? What is that all about?
Well, I wouldn't call that an event. It's a series of plays that I've written based on a character that I played for a long time at Christmas parties. His name is Anthony Claus, and he is he's the younger brother of Santa, and he is the backup plan. So if Santa can't complete his duties, then Anthony gets to do it. But usually he doesn't get to do it. So we have done a version of Anthony for 6 years. We will do our seventh this year. And it probably be the last time that I am involved in it, but we're going to be doing a Christmas Carmela, which is actually one of the characters from Anthony Claus, the mother-in-law, Carmela, telling a Christmas carol from memory. So it gets a little twisted up, and it gets very Italian, and it's a lot of fun. And somebody that you know, I think her name might be Kelly. She is our cameo guest performer. She's done it 5 years. She hit our 5-year club this year.
Oh, wow.
We're hoping that she'll do it again this year.
You always have such a great cast and crew, and I love Carmela. And I love those. I would love to have a red velvet suit like she does.
Well, all right. So when the show's up, we'll donate it to you. How's that?
Oh, no, that's okay. She is just a charmer. The whole cast and crew. And you have many local celebrities. Every week you have someone new, like Tony Petrocca could show. Barbara Morris would be on.
Yeah.
And Kelly Bates would be on and others. Yeah. And it's just so much fun.
Yeah, we, you know, we've had remarkable support from, you know, folks like Kelly. So, you know, in our first year we had Karen Adams. She was pretty cool. But, you know, we've had like Brendan Kirby from The Road Show, Frank Carpano from 10,
mm-hmm.
Mike Montecalvo, Tony Petrocca, Steve Cascione has done it. He wasn't able to do it this past year, but we're hoping to get him back, even though he's not on TV anymore. We don't care.
Right.
He still keeps Steve Cascione. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping, and we'll be doing that this year. Will probably be, like I said, the sign-off for me and most of my crew, but other companies will do it. But we're doing it at Theater Works in Woonsocket. It will be the second and third weekends of December, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, why are you stepping back from the program from the production? Is it too labor-intensive?
Right now there's no new stories to tell for Antony. We've done them all twice, except for Antony 3, and I'm not sure I want to go back to that. But I'll just probably end up doing something different. I'll probably write an entirely new show going forward. But, you know, right now I've done everything I want to do with Antony.
Right.
And I'll just make it available to other companies.
Right. When you're saying that, I can see him in my mind. I can see him right there, you know.
Yeah.
And the characters are hysterical. But we do have, we did have a caller that called in. John from Boroughville wanted to say hi.
Yeah. Actually, he was just chatting with me on Facebook while he was on hold.
Yeah, unfortunately, technology here, we just couldn't patch our callers in. We had a couple of calls, and we just had to tell him so sorry that... Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
If you were
that's
here, see, next time you have to come in the studio so we can get all these callers and your fans to call in. You see?
That would mean I have to get up at 4 o'clock like you did.
Yeah, but any guest that comes on my show, Frank, I take him to breakfast.
Oh, well, you didn't mention that.
I do, because I know what a sacrifice it is to get up and come down here at like 10 or 7 or so. But I pull into the lot at 6:30 to just review, you know, my questions and everything and go over the newspapers and figure out what's going on. But I do have to wrap up the show a little bit early because I have to, I want to mention a lot of great things and fundraising events that are also coming up. Well, why don't you give us a plug one more time for your wonderful, amazing Heavenly Gingers number 7 show. And I'll keep promoting this every single week.
I appreciate that, Elaine.
And I'll see you there on the and I will see you there that evening as well.
Yeah, I think you're going to know a couple of the performers.
Awesome.
It is it's called Heavenly Gingers 7. It is March 21st to Tuesday night at Twin River Event Center. It is kid friendly, and by the way, getting into the event center, you get nowhere near the casino, so you don't have to worry about that. We'll have dance, we'll have singing, we'll have some comedy, raffles, auctions, live auctions. Tickets are just $15 at the door for adults, $5 for children. Doors open at 5:30. We have entertainment in the lobby, in the person of the rhythm section. There's this kid Max who plays in that. I think you might know him. We open the doors, like I said, at 5:30, 6:30 the show starts, and we go on time. We'll have you out of there by 9:15 at the latest.
Well said. Thank you so much, Frank, for calling in, and I'll see you on the 21st. And like I said, I'll make sure that we all here support this wonderful organization, and I'll see you on the 21st.
Thanks, Elaine.
You're very welcome, Frank. Okay, there goes Frank O'Donnell, and Heavenly Ginger Show, a fantastic show. If you have not seen it last year or the year before, please, Twin River. It's March 21st, and like you said, the show starts at 6:30, doors open at 5:30, and tickets are only $15. It's a great, fun event. I encourage you to go, and we are going to mention that each and every Saturday that my show is on. I know we have so much to do and so little time to do it, so I'm going to try to get through this right now. The most important one that I can tell you about the fundraising event is Suit for Heat fundraising event, and that's held today. And it's from noon to 2 p.m., okay? So, hey, get a cup of soup, Larson Senior Center. It's only $10, but it goes to such a great cause. And you'll see some of the wonderful folks that are really committed in helping our neighbors in need. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, I want to wish you a very fantastic week and stay warm. Dominic will be back at 6 a.m. on Monday from 6 to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show Out and About with Elaine is on at 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. each and every Saturday, followed by Dave Kane and company from 9 to noon. So again, thanks for listening. I know it's a really, really, really cold day today, so bundle up and keep the kids nice and toasty. And I guess it's a great hat and coat and mitten day. And meet me back here next Saturday for another great show of Out and About with Elaine.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh.